All right, good morning. It's time to start the award-winning podcast, the Bipolar Bear Podcast, featuring yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Hey, what's going on this lovely Thursday, July 29th? It's about 11 a.m. here on the East Coast, and we're getting rain again. Boo. I mean, I actually like the rain, though. It's a little chilly out, though. I'm sitting here with a nice cup of Dreamtime tea with a little bit of honey. Very nice. Ready? I'll sip it for you. Let's see if it's too hot. Hang on. Ready? It reminds me of that Family Guy episode where Peter was talking on the radio and he was eating milk cookies. It was a pretty funny episode, actually. I love Family Guy. I'm not a huge fan of the original, like the beginning series were pretty rough to get through, but I mean, the newer ones are really awesome. I'd say from like season 5 or 6 on, it was, they struck gold on every episode, just funny stuff. So raining here again, kind of a disappointing day to go pick up a new car in the rain, but oh, well, what can you do? I'm not going to downplay the fact that I'm getting a new car today. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that. I think I got a good deal on it, so I'm also excited about that. So, yeah. Let's see. What else is going on? So, yeah, things are starting to get a little hectic at the old job. We're coming up on I had mentioned that one of the other engineers that worked in the AWS space is departing. And, you know, while I wish him good and best of luck and well wishes for his new career, unfortunately, this organization has a lot of tribal knowledge, and this guy's been in this position for a number of years, so there's a lot of information that's not documented, if you know what I mean, if you're in any kind of environment where documentation could help you. There are things documented, but, you know, there's a lot of tribal knowledge that this guy's taken with him, and that's going to be a real shame. We didn't have much opportunity to transition. Like I said, he's only got a few days left and, you know, I've only been in this role for about a month. So it's really not been enough time to get like, you know, 10 years of someone's experiences with a client, out into the open and know what's going on. So it should be an interesting event to say the least going forward, depending on how much longer I last. I have this weird, strange feeling like at some point I'm going to see something pop up on my calendar on a Friday that with my boss that says, hey, we got to have a meeting, and it's going to be the meeting of, hey, we're letting you go. So I'm sort of expecting that to happen for some reason. I just have a bad vibe getting that negative feeling. I don't know if you ever kind of have intuitions like that where you feel like something's coming. I just, I don't know. I guess I've fallen out of favor with everyone in this organization. They really don't value anything that I bring to the table at this point, and that's really, really disappointing. But, you know, yesterday I did have a good third interview with a company, and hopefully that'll lead to the subsequent interviews to get me through so that I can get to a point where they make me an offer, which would be really cool because it sounds like a really fun organization, great culture, great people, and fun, exciting technology to get my head around. So that would be, I think it'd be a fun job. But I got to be honest, I'm getting a little tired of this at my age, you know, being almost 50 now. I'm getting a little tired of this rat race of having to keep looking for things and find new opportunities. And it's just getting a little bit, it's like I would really appreciate this, my regular role being consistent. So if you have that in your life, here's a kind of a shout out. If you have consistency where, you know, you feel like you go into work every day and everything is great, and, you know, you may not enjoy everything you're doing all the time. And of course, there's going to be issues because there are, no matter, even if you have the greatest job ever, there'll always be trials and tribulations, right, throughout the day. But if you have a job where you don't feel like you're going to be fired every day, you know, relish in that and take stock in that and, you know, I guess appreciate that because not all of us get that. You know, and I understand that, you know, I'm coming from a place where, as I've said countless times on this podcast, I'm a negative person. So I have a hard time seeing the positive in this. I just assume because I don't speak to people and they don't speak to me and I don't really know what's going on anymore that, you know, I can assume the worst. And, you know, for good reason, because if you think about what I just went through as an experience, no one told me that anything was wrong or I wasn't performing up to the expectation or anything. They just got rid of me in the position. So you can, I think you can, you know, at this point start to understand why I have such a negative opinion. It's not just part of the bipolar condition that I'm suffering from, but it's actual experience. Right? Nobody came to me in this organization and said, hey, you're failing. You're not doing well. We're not happy with your performance. You need to do this. We need you to step up. Nothing. Everything was going great. Everybody spoke to me fine. Everything was nice. It was always, hey, great to see you. Everything's good. Awesome job. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm not doing that job anymore. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're hiring a replacement. You know, so, I mean, it's not like I'm making these things up. This is what's actually happening. So you can, I hope that you can at least side with me on the fact that I'm not delusional and I'm not making these things up. This is what actually took place. And, you know, you'd have to, I guess, at least give me the benefit of the doubt that what I'm telling you is true and accurate. And it is, but you don't know that, right? You're getting a one-sided point of view, but you know, I'm not lying about the fact that no one came to me and expressed any concerns with any aspect of my performance or anything like that. And again, I'm fully willing to accept that, you know, if I'm not right for this position, that's fine. But I just feel like there should have been some kind of, you know, opportunity for me to know that and have the opportunity to affect change. Or implement change on my behalf, or, you know, I guess I could have chosen to do nothing and just let it ride, but I didn't even have that opportunity. So, you know, anyway, I am where I am, but it's really difficult to function every day in a productive way and not be completely disengaged as an employee when you're in a circumstance like this. And that's something to take away. Like, so for example, if you're a manager or any kind of leader, you know, in your current life, I would hope that you'd already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway, just in case. You know, when you create these types of environments, this is what happens to high performing people. When people talk and say words like disengaged, or unempowered or distracted, that's really what I'm getting at here in terms of I'm a high performer. I will go to bat. I will work 10 hours, 12 hours a day. I will do what's needed for the job if I feel like it matters and people actually care. But if you don't and it doesn't matter, I have a hard time showing up to work with any kind of motivation to do anything. It's really difficult. And I am a high achiever, but when I feel the way that I feel right now, you're getting probably less than the bare minimum. I just, quite frankly, don't want to be here. I don't want to do this anymore because no one's inspiring me. No one's making me feel like what I do matters or that even my existence matters. So I am a prime example of a disengaged employee. And being disengaged is no kind of fun. For anybody, it's counterproductive for the organization. It's counterproductive for the individual. And of course, it's going to reflect negatively on the client because they're a part of both of those interactions. Side note, I wish I could play this song right now, but there's a band that I like called Suicide Silence, and they have a song entitled Disengaged. So I want to make tribute to this podcast episode to Suicide Silence and RIP Mitch Lucker. But yeah, it's definitely disengaging an employee is by no means beneficial to anyone in you know in that whole group, whether it be the employer, the employee, or the client or the customer, whatever you want to call it. It's a very counterproductive position to be in. It really can happen to anybody because like I said, I'm a very driven individual. But when I'm in a mindset like I am right now, where I don't know what's going on and I, in my opinion, feel mistreated, I have no one I can talk to at this place of employment about this. HR is underneath the people that are my bosses. So there's not going to be any kind of, you know, resolution or anyone I can go just vent to or talk about my concerns because no one's going to give a shit. I mean, and that's the bottom line because who is the HR person going to go to? Oh, the same boss that I would go to. So if I need to talk about my boss, about issues and problems that I have with the leadership, the HR people in this company are not even at the leadership level. They're below it. So who are they going to go and bring and express and bring these feelings to? They're not going to, you know, if they go back, then retaliation will certainly happen because this is a small company that operates under its own guidelines and does whatever it wants. There's no one here keeping track of it. There's no, you know, it's not a public company in that regards. So they're not big enough where it matters that they have to actually follow any kind of rules that they should be. And, you know, apparently they're not high quality enough people to do the right thing. They just want to say words, have them mean nothing, and then go about their day and not be concerned about what the actual repercussions of their words and or actions can be on the community. And I think the associate community. And I think that's why we're seeing so many people departing, because it's just, you know, it's not working out for people other than just me. You know, I mean, everybody's leaving to go to some other place. And there's good reason for that. If you continually lie to people, whether you think you are or not, but you're being deceptive and misleading and saying things that you're not going to do, and not following up the way you say you're going to follow up, you really shouldn't have the expectation that people are going to just break their backs for you. It's just not the way it's going to be. You know, I mean, as much as I want to do a good job each and every day, it's very difficult to do that for people that don't hold you with any regard and don't care about you and don't treat you with at least dignity and respect, just are complete clowns, you know, and it's just, anyway, let me get off this topic because it's just so negative. But yeah, I mean, being disengaged is not a positive position to be in as an employee in any way, shape, or form. For me, I like the definition of disengaged as to release or detach oneself, withdraw. That I think is very poignant and relevant in this particular circumstance. You know, and I've been in situations like this before where I've recovered from it. But unfortunately, it takes more than just me doing something to recover from this. Other people have to do something and take action and, you know, get back to proving that, you know, you're worth my effort and my time. So whether or not that happens, I have no idea. My suspicion would be that it will not happen just based on experience here, where everything that I've ever said, you know, that I think should happen or could happen does not. So I wouldn't know that this or wouldn't have much confidence in the fact that this particular circumstance or instance will be any different. I think they're just stuck between a rock and a hard place, in that technically speaking, I know the technology that this individual is leaving behind. I don't know the client the way he does, and that is going to be a problem. There is the conundrum, word of the day. I try to use that in every podcast. If you're not getting that inside joke, that's what that is. I try to use my favorite word, conundrum, in every podcast. So whether or not it made any sense or grammatically in that sentence, that's what I did. But yeah, so that, you know, he's leaving behind a lot of tribal knowledge, like I said, that I don't know. And it's not the technology. And I would argue that you wouldn't be able to go out and hire anyone, no matter what their skill level was in this technology, that they would be able to walk in and just be able to understand, you know, within a reasonable amount of time, what's going on here, because quite frankly, it's a mess. And I don't mean like a little bit, it's like a big mess. So trying to figure out what's going on there is not going to be easy. And I'm not looking forward to this at all. This is not something that's exciting and, oh boy, I get to do all this. No, it's like, oh my gosh, what a mess. What am I into for now? You know, I mean, and at what point am I going to be to blame for things not panning out the way that they had this real unrealistic expectation of things going when this person left? I mean, I kind of alluded to that when I was asked, hey, you know, there was a question posed by my manager saying, hey guys, how's everything going with the transition? And I'm like, well, you know, me and my usual be blunt and, you know, honest and transparent. Hey man, we're looking at like 8 to 9 years of someone that's been doing this, and we have less than 2 weeks to transition. So I think we need to requalify the expectation of what that's going to mean in terms of how much I'm going to actually be able to extract from this guy, even if we spent all 8 hours of every day from now until he's gone. There's just no way to get that kind of knowledge. There's just going to be all of those gotchas of like, oh yeah, well, there's a lot of implied knowledge that's not in documentation. You know, you can go through step by step on something, but if I don't know where to apply it, here's a perfect example. We were doing a provisioning of some new resource access in AWS, the IAM rules, the security policies, right? And the access management. There's multiple accounts in AWS for this client. I don't, and they're not named intuitively. Like one doesn't say client name production, client name dev, client name test. You know, they're not, that's how bad it is. It's not even intuitive enough for me to realize from reading the description of the account what it is. It says client name, POC, something else, you know, and I'm not giving out any information because I don't think that's relevant. It doesn't matter what any of this is called, but what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what it's called in terms of naming it specifically, calling out what it's named. What I'm saying though, is that it's not even done in a strategic enough way that a lay person would be able to read this and go, oh yeah, that says client name development. Clearly that's the development layer. Client name production. Clearly that's the production. Why they're not named that way, I have no idea. They're named really foolishly and not intuitively at all. So when a half-assed request comes over for access, I don't even know what account they need it in. Is it dev? Is it test? Is it prod? Is it something else? Is it a third-party vendor? I don't know. How would I know that? I haven't been working with these people, so I don't know this stuff. So it's a back and forth, a back and forth. I mean, I'm not even included in the federated teams chats that we have with these clients. It's just so poorly executed. You know, I mean, all I can really do is when I come across these issues, just call them out and say, hey, I can't do this because of this. So I think the real problem will come in is if all these things are not captured before this person leaves and I don't have access and credentials and know how to do all of this stuff, there's going to be no one to ask. So it should be an interesting transition, to say the least, over the next month, let's say. And I am really praying, and I don't want to jinx this or anything, but I am praying that something comes my way prior, you know, within that period of time, so that I really don't have to deal with this, because this is a very, very, it's just a very unpleasant circumstance to find yourself. And again, like I said, this has nothing to do with technical know-how. I know all kinds of things in the AWS cloud. From a technology perspective, I've built things on my own. I've worked at scale 1,000 times the size where we are now. But also those environments were set up properly and they were configured properly. And there were other people in most cases to at least talk about the scenarios with. Here, there's no one at all. You're completely on your own. And if you don't know it, you don't know it. So it should be interesting to see how these types of things roll down. And then there's also an information security component to this, where they have some other tool sets that they're using for information security and code check-ins and other technology stuff that's really... Anyway, let's reel this whole thing back in, because I think disengagement was what I was getting at in terms of my topic of the day, at least, or topic of the moment here for the podcast. It is really, not optimal to be disengaged as an employee, and to, as an employer, allow that type of thing to happen is just an atrocity. And it is an ultimate failure, because no one comes out of that in a good, positive manner. And here I am again, you know, trying to get myself out of these negative circumstances, because, you know, let's be honest, work affects your personal life, no matter if you want it to or not. It's very difficult to disconnect the fact that you're miserable for 8 to 10 hours a day at your job and then be all happy-go-lucky in life. If you're miserable all day long, it's likely to carry over into your personal experiences and, you know, interactions as well. So me sitting here being frustrated and aggravated and upset all day long is not helping me when I go upstairs and now I have family time and I'm a miserable jerk. And it has nothing to do with my family. It's just I've been unhappy for the last 18 months. So I desperately need something to change here. And as odd as it sounds, and I'm not trying to make this happen or do a manifestation of any kind, but at this point, it would almost be better if they just fired me And I just went and collected unemployment until I could figure something else out. I'm just so done with all this. It's just, you know, it's not that it's too much or overwhelming. It's just, I don't want to do it. I don't want to put the time or effort in here for people that have treated me poorly and don't care about me genuinely and have no interest in really me being here other than, like I said, they're backed into a corner. It's a real disappointing circumstance. So anyway, any of you out there that work, you know, or have any kind of leadership or manager or supervisory capacities in your daily role or activity, you know, be aware, be cognizant of people that are disengaged. And what that means, here's a solution. A lot of people say things like that, you know, make sure your staff isn't disengaged, but they don't give you the what to do. And it's a very simple answer. Talk to your people on a daily or a frequent recurring basis. Don't go weeks, months on end without speaking to people and never talk to them about anything. And I'm not talking just professional, you know, hi Garrett, how are you today? How's everything? You know, I'm talking about a sincere, genuine conversation and a real concern and ultimately building relationships. And that, you know, that's not what's going on here. I'm never spoken to by anyone. And I'm at this point not reaching out to people because nobody clearly ever reciprocates that. So why would I do it anymore? Obviously they don't want to. So I'm not going to reach out and go like, hey man, can we talk? I'm not feeling so hot. You know, this whole thing is overwhelming and I'm feeling very disengaged. That isn't on me to do that. That's on the leadership team. I mean, that's what I always did to my people when I was managing these teams. I could always tell when people were getting frustrated or angry. So after the meeting, I would reach out and call them, and we had daily stand-ups. And I mean, every day, every single day we talked about, all right, what's everybody doing? What's going on? Who's got challenges? Who needs help? You know, all that kind of stuff, keeping people engaged and supported and feel like they're, you know, and ironically now everybody's quitting. Because we're not doing that. I mean, my boss doesn't even talk to me at all, let alone have daily stand-ups. I mean, if he's doing it, he's not doing it with me. So if I'm on this team, I'm not being included in any kind of stand-ups or, hey, this is what we're doing. And there's no flow of communication whatsoever. It's just either an occasional email or maybe a Teams reach out once every few weeks or a month or so, or just it's a joke. So it's not happening. So the answer to this is relationships, communication, folks. If you're not talking to people, this is what happens. If you're not communicating, I don't care if it's bad news. If every day somebody had to tell me, hey, Garrett, you're not up to par. Hey, Garrett, this is what you need to do. Hey, Garrett, I need you to do this. I'm not saying I need to be micromanaged, but if there are outstanding issues and you actually give a shit about people, you need to communicate that to them. They need to know it. They need to hear it. And I don't mean it always has to be super verbose, right? Like I'm a big talker and I overtalk a lot of people in terms of what they want to hear. Like there were many people on my team that I had to amend my style for because they weren't into somebody that just lectured and rambled on like I do. So I had to be much more concise with what I delivered to them. But when they were feeling unhappy about something or I could tell that there was a problem, I would reach out. Hey man, you know, what's going on? Let's talk. You got a few? Tell me what's on your mind. What's frustrating you now? And there'd be a long pause of silence because they were not always people that wanted to express these things at first glance because it was not something they were used to having happen to them. People just let them stew in their own crap and never addressed it. Whereas I want to know what's going on. Is there something I can do to help you? Is it make you feel better to just express it to me and give me your take on what's going on and why it's a problem so perhaps I can make an impact, a change for you? But you know, that isn't happening in any capacity at this point, at least not for me. So even the person that was doing that, which was me, is now finding themselves in a disengaged state because no one's doing it for me or to me. So I think, you know, if you feel like people are disengaged or even if you are feeling disengaged, what you should be looking for is communication. That's really the key to this. And I don't care if it's a phone call. I don't care if it's a video call. I don't care if it's, you know, an IM or a text. Just some kind of acknowledgement that, hey, man, I feel like something's off. What's going on? You want to talk about it? You know, you want to vent a little bit? You want to have a discussion about this? By not doing that, I mean, you're just further digging the hole where this person feels more and more disengaged and disconnected and removed from any hope of things getting better because that's the environment you're creating. You know, they need that lifeline. Throw them a line, man. Help these people out. So I know a lot of people talk about these words and say these words, oh, disengaged employees and unempowered and all this crap, but they don't actually follow it up with what you should do. And it's very simple. Maybe that's implied. I don't know. Maybe you already knew that. But if you didn't, the answer is you need to talk to people. You need to communicate. You need to be sincere and transparent and be honest and open and have these kind of, you know, conversations with people and build these kinds of relationships with people, because quite frankly, you spend an awful lot of time with people at work. If you're not considering that some kind of a relationship, you're also missing not only an opportunity, but the point, right? How engaged, the opposite word, right? The antonym there. How engaged do you think a person is going to be if they don't feel that way about you? If they don't care about you, what do you think they're really going to do for you? You know, a lot of the stories that I've shared with regard to, you know, when I worked at Yahoo and some of these other Silicon Valley companies that just had these amazing cultures, they got what they got out of me, not because I was just such a great employee, but because I felt like part of a family and I felt like these people were my friends, because they actually were. Whether I had met them in person physically or not, we had daily conversations. We talked about our personal lives. We did all this stuff that makes for a real relationship, even if we weren't able to do it in person all the time. So if you're working remote or you've been distant as an employee for some time, this still can happen for you. You know, I have friends over in India that I had these kind of relationships with that when they came to visit, brought me gifts. I mean, so these weren't just like bullshit. I'm not making this up like it was some fantasy. You know, I mean, people don't buy you gifts and bring you things from their country when they come to visit for work if they're not actually your friend and don't sincerely care about you. That's a real thing, man. That's no joke. That's real. So when you have those kinds of relationships with the people that you work with, imagine the environment that you're working. It's amazing. But it takes honesty, transparency, you know, sincerity, all these things mean something. They're real. They're not just made up words. They mean something in reality, in actual actions, in actionable, you know, directives that you need to go out there and do this. And you need to give, in my opinion, more than you get. And, you know, that's here, I'll use the word of the day again, conundrum. That's my conundrum today, is that I want so much to be a part of the solution for this company. I mean, I sincerely do, but no one is meeting me even close to halfway. They're just gone. No one wants to talk to me. No one wants to listen to me. No one wants to hear what I have to say. No one wants a relationship with me. So they're doing like the silent treatment, and I guarantee they're just hoping that I quit, because they probably just don't want to pay the unemployment if they let me go, but they're gonna eventually. Right? I mean, that's my opinion. And again, I'm not trying to be negative about it. I just think that's the reality of the circumstance. You know, it is what it is. I don't know how else you would perceive the circumstance that I'm in. There's no real opportunity for me here. You know, not necessarily to get promoted. I'm not talking about more money or anything like that. I'm just saying, in the current circumstance in which I find myself, what is the opportunity? I'm being set up to fail. I mean, that's what it is. There's no plan. There's no focus on anything other than I got one message that was like a one-liner saying, hey guys, how's it going with the transition? Is everything ready to go when, you know, Garrett's all on his own? I mean, no. How could you be so ignorant to even think that, let alone say it out loud? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, let's be honest. As good as a guy as this guy might be, He's not going to really care. I shouldn't say it that way. I'm sure he cares, and I'm not assuming anything, but you're a departing employee. You're moving on to something else. His mind is already there. You know, if you look at this honestly, when you found a new position, that's why I always thought the 2-week notice thing was weird. You know, like, well, you got to give 2 weeks notice. It's like, do you really want a purposefully disengaged employee to stick around for 2 weeks or longer? Like my last job when I came, before I came here, required for me to receive all of my accrued benefits. They required 30 days notice. It was probably the most awkward 30 days that I ever worked. Well, there was probably another spot that was similar like that. I had one position where they gave me, they were eliminating the position and they gave me, I think it was 2 weeks of just, you know, come in and do whatever and look for jobs and all that kind of stuff. But we'll pay you for the next 2 weeks. We just need you to keep coming in. And that was really weird and awkward because it was like, well, I'm not really able to do anything because I'm leaving. So what am I even doing here? And that was what it was like in the last 30 days of my previous job was it got like strange because, I mean, I'm leaving. I didn't have 30 days worth of work that needed to be transitioned. So I was basically sitting on my thumbs for a good majority of that time, just being useless because nobody's going to give me new projects. Nobody's going to really want me to do anything or start anything new because I'm leaving. So it was just a weird thing. So same, you know, same scenario as was what I'm explaining here is that it's just very awkward. So I've been rambling on about disengagement for a while. I probably should do it justice and actually talk about it for real and define it for real, right? Instead of just rambling about my own interpretations of it. Because there are actually three types or three classifications of disengagement or just employee behavior anyway. And I guess it's, you know, it's not as binary as I thought because everything I think about is binary. So there's engaged, clearly. There's not engaged. And there's actively disengaged. Let me just read this real quick. Engaged employees are as easy to spot as they are miserable, dissident, counterculture folks who are actively disengaged. The silent majority who are not engaged make up over 50% of the American workforce and are adept at blending in with the rest of the herd. So it's actually, apparently it's actually harder. So maybe they don't even know that I'm disengaged. I mean, that's very, very possible. If you're not looking for it, you know, there's obvious signs like absenteeism, low energy, bad attitude, frequent use of social media. So the bad attitude is probably something that would key them off. I'm using social media right now. I don't know if that's considered like the fact that I'm talking about this on social media or if they mean like you're on Facebook at work. A general lack of enthusiasm, but few disengaged employees start out by staging a coup from their crucible, or excuse me, from their cubicle. let's look at some of the early signs of employee disengagement. So there's no initiative in their employee performance. Yeah, that's, of course, unhealthy activities. How often you go into the break room, getting snacked, you know, stepping away because you're just so frustrated. And, you know, I try to do that frequently, actually. Silence indicates a problem in the workplace. So I guess I'm trying to be actively silent, though I'm not normally silent. I don't want to be silent. And we definitely have some introverted people, but I am not that. For the most part, like I get silent, I think, and I think what they mean here is I get silent when things go bad. And I know, like I just said it, right? I was just explaining this. They don't want my opinion. They don't want to talk to me. So I'll just be silent. So silence indicates a problem. Yeah, there it is. Lack of learning equals lack of work motivation. So I guess, I don't know if that one applies because technically I'm going to have to ramp up like hell here to get going on a lot of these initiatives that I'm going to get handed, but it's not the way I'd like it to be. It's not positive. It's just happenstance. Wasted weekends. What's this one? When we aren't happy or we're uninspired at work, those emotions have a way of infiltrating all aspects of our lives. Okay. Yeah. So I said that. Are people spending their weekends sleeping most of the time or are they pursuing a personal passion? I mean, like I said, I have a family, so that bleed over thing, is the infiltration component is very real. So, sorry about that. Bella's, a little excited upstairs, barking away. Apologies for that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that I waste my weekends and I don't know that it affects the other things that I'm doing because I get more motivated to succeed in things like this podcast or music or voiceover or, you know, even looking for a new career opportunity at this point. But yeah, it definitely plays over. If you're in a lousy mood all day long, it's pretty difficult to just turn that off and go back home or walk upstairs, in my case, and not be a complete jackass. And I need all the help I can get in there anyway, because I suffer from that on my own without any external influences kind of making it worse. So I don't need anybody helping me feeling poor and having a rotten attitude. I can do that one all by myself. You know, I don't know. I think that that's, that encapsulates it pretty well. You know, and I, a lot of this is outside of my control. I don't have any way of really doing anything about this other than doing my job and, you know, seeing where that goes. I'm tired of calling out things that no one cares about. You know, they don't want to hear it. So I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm going to listen to my wife because, you know, she's been right in a lot of instances in this when I've shared and expressed these things to her. So she's just like, shut up, stop saying things, you know? And I guess, you know, if you look at that, that makes you kind of a disengaged employee. It's a warning sign. But at the same time, I mean, why am I going to contribute something and bring things up and call things out if nobody actually wants to hear them or do anything about it? There's no point. So I can understand why everybody here is so quiet, because why wouldn't you be? Nobody gives a shit what you're going to say anyway, so you might as well just say nothing and, you know, let other people make these poor decisions. I don't know what else to do at this point other than that, and that's what I've been doing for some time now. So, you know, it is what it is. I guess opening my mouth got me in a lot of trouble to begin with that I wasn't even aware of. I thought it was a positive thing because people told me it was, but I guess it wasn't. So, you know, careful what you do, careful what you say out there. But anyway, yeah, keep an eye out for disengaged employees. If you're, even if you're a peer, you know, I mean, if somebody's like feeling off or not quite there, maybe reach out and be just like, hey man, what's going on? How you doing? You all right? Because the truth is you never really know what's going on in people's lives. And sometimes there's a lot of external circumstances that cause this that aren't really directly related to the employer relationship. I mean, if somebody's suffering from disease or sick or having something personal going on in their life, that can reciprocate and work in reverse. So you could bring that into the workplace as well. You can't always blame the employer for the disengagement. It could be something going on in the employee's lives as well that could be creating that kind of a circumstance. But nevertheless, I think that, you know, what I was saying and what, you know, some of these articles and some of the stuff I'm reading here are saying is, you know, communication is key. You really need to address these circumstances and build relationships and be sincere and genuine with people and stop being so, I don't want to say politically correct, but just this bullshit persona of like, well, I'm the boss and I'm here for you and my door is always open. No, it isn't. It's always closed and you freaking damn well know it. You just say this stupid shit. And unfortunately for you, you don't get that people know that you're full of shit because you are. And that's disappointing, but it's also comical at the same time because you're so ignorant that you don't realize it, but you keep on doing the same thing. Okay, so with that, let's move on to the poem of the day, taken from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett Michael Conklin. This poem is called All at Once. And just so you know, I'm not reading these ahead of time, so I haven't looked at this stuff in 7 or 8 years, yeah, about 7 years now. So I have no idea what they're talking about until I read them, and then I can make a comment. Anyway, all at once. What do you think is after this life? Anything at all or nothing? What do you believe is after your time? Something, I hope, anything. If there is anything, I hope that it's clear. Not all of this overcast clouded with fear. If I had my wish, I'd stay here and see that all of my loved ones know that I am free. Free to watch over them and see all they are. Free to participate in love from afar. I'd want them to see me in all that I've become. I'd hope that they'd not forget me, although I am far from. In time, it would seem that we all move to another time and or place, son, father, mother, daughter, sister, and brother. What I think is after this life is nothing like anything that's now in my life, moving me further from hoping and so many other things. I want to be here and there all at once, but alas, that is not possible, though nothing is impossible save for all of it at once. That was an interesting one. I think it's pretty obvious what that was about, though. It's about dying. So, you know, you can imagine that while I was going through heart surgery and recovery and all that kind of stuff, there were a lot of thoughts, as I've mentioned in the past, about, you know, not actually making it through and having to say goodbye to my children and my wife and my family and never seeing anybody again. And, you know, kind of coming to terms with that. And I don't think that I, even to this day, have come to terms with that, what that really means and what that will be. But as human beings, we have to. And, you know, I express that in that poem. So, hey, thanks so much. You know, I always mean this when I say it at the end of every podcast and every episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following. If you have any questions, comments, just want to shoot me a line on social media, I'm out there. I've put in my description, like all the different things that you can see that I'm doing and where I am. So don't be shy. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.